I shall give you a brief survey of the entire gamut we have covered up to this time, merely for the purpose of recapitulation. You know that we started with the study of Panchagni Vidya. If you carefully glance through these chapters of the Upanishad, particularly from the fifth onwards till the end, you will see a gradational ascent of thought as is seen in the curriculum of textbooks in a school or college, where our mind is gradually taken from the external to the internal and the universal realities, commencing with the actions which a person is capable of in the spiritual sense, intending to take the mind of the student to more generalized forms of reality, where observances, disciplines, actions, etc., cease to be such and assume a new form altogether, getting commensurate with the wider realities for the purpose of which we are given various types of comparisons and anecdotes, driving home into our minds the highest purpose of meditation on Brahman or the Absolute. The Panchagni Vidya is the meditation on the five fires, namely the entire creation of the five elements which are to be considered symbolically as fires in meditation. The concept of sacrifice and fire is peculiar to the Vedas, the Brahmanas, and also to the Upanishads in many places. Every worship and every type of meditation is regarded as a kind of sacrifice, yajna, and the cosmic phenomena are required here to be contemplated as performances of a cosmic sacrifice. The heavens, which are the progenitors of all vibration and the creators of every force, invisibly though, giving rise to the further manifestations in the form of the five elements, sky, air, fire, water and earth, are to be considered as stages or altars in the performance of a cosmic yajna. Five types of sacrifice called the Panchagni. These five objects, the five elements, or the five stages of cosmic descent, are the objects of the senses of the individual. And finally, you will see that from the cosmic level, we are brought down to the individual level and told how individuals are born, how birth takes place at all, wherein, in whose context, we are given an interesting blend of the universal principles and the individual functions. From the heavens we come to the atmosphere, the sky, and then we come to the rain, then we come to the earth, then we come to the human individual, and then the distinction between the male and the female, which has an important role to play in the production of a child. These are mystical admonitions given to us for the purpose of meditation on the more rarefied forms of these phenomena, which look like the five elements outside and the individual inside, external objects outside and senses inside, but with the corresponding connection between the two, the senses and the external objects are constituted ultimately of a common substance, beautifully pointed out in one of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Guna Guneshu Vartante. The senses operate upon the object, not unnecessarily, not by force, not in a fantastic manner, but in a natural way, spontaneously, because the senses and the objects outside are constituted of the same substance. Cosmically they appear to be objects, internally they appear to be the functions or the sensory media of the individual. We are to contemplate sense perception itself as a sacrifice, and everything that is implied in a sensory activity, everything that is comprehended within the phenomenon of our consciousness of relation between ourselves and the cosmos outside. All this is a difficult thing to imagine in the mind, but such an imagination is the subject of meditation through the concept of the Panchagni. Interestingly enough, we are told towards the end of the discussion of the Panchagni Vidya that if you succeed in the practice of this meditation in the manner prescribed, you will go to Brahmaloka through the northern path. Everyone sees the world. Everyone sees the sun shining in the sky. You see the rain falling. You know that you are treading on the earth. You know that you are a man or a woman, that you are capable of producing children, etc. This is a prosaic way of looking at things. This is a gross way of interpreting the phenomena who have an internal meaning that does not become explicit to the ordinary senses of perception or the mind which cognizes. We are ignorant of the inner secrets behind the operation of these phenomena outwardly as the five elements and inwardly as the sense organs through our individualities. We are ignorant to the core. We know nothing about how things happen outside and also why things happen inside. What is the connection between the outside and inside? We know nothing of this. We have got a gross, distorted notion about these things, on account of which we are bound to samsara, the thraldom of earthly existence. The purpose of this teaching called the Panchagni Vidya is to give us the meaning behind these phenomena. There is something organic about you in relation to the world outside, and even the simplest prosaic acts of your senses and the crass physical actions of your body in relation to the physical objects of sense outside have great meaning inside. There is a spirituality at the depth of all things. You are neither a body projecting the senses in a whimsical manner for the purpose of the satisfaction of the senses, nor is it true that there is a world outside independent of you which acts in its own way in an erratic manner irrespective of your needs and demands. Whatever happens outside and whatever happens inside, whatever is the need be that you feel through your sense organs, and whatever is the performance of nature in the way we observe through the senses. This is a cosmic movement. It is not that something is happening outside independent of connection with us. Nor is it true that we are doing something independent of everything that is outside. We are ignorant of the secret of these happenings. This ignorance is to be lifted by the practice of this meditation, namely the contemplation of the universal implications hidden behind the so-called outer phenomena of nature and the apparent inner activities of the senses. If this universal concept could be entertained in the mind during meditation throughout one's life, then your destiny is Brahmaloka. The superior reality is going to be your destination, and you will proceed to this great God, Brahma, through the northern path, the path of light, otherwise will be reborn. So this is an outline of the deeper meaning of the Panchagni Vidya. If this meditation is not going to be a success, if I am not for it or you are not for it and nobody can think of it, understand it or practice it, then we are doomed to rebirth. Rebirth, the process of transmigration, is a necessary corollary of the subjection of the individual to the forces of nature, a subjection that is an automatic outcome of one's imagination that one is small in compared to the world outside and the world is larger in its power, and the notion that the world has no connection whatsoever with us, that we are puppets driven to dance by strings which are operated by some other forces outside. This slavish mentality of ours is the cause of our transmigration. In other words, our ignorance of the true nature of things is the cause of rebirth. We cannot escape the sorrow of life and the pains of rebirth as long as we cannot think like this. We are unfit for such meditation, etc. From this subject we are taken to the more grand concept of Vaishvanara Vidya, which is the subject of the concluding portion of the 5th chapter of the Upanishad, which is one of the magnificent messages that the Upanishad gives us. If you can understand what it means, your hairs will stand on end. If samsara is a bondage, if birth and death are to be avoided, if your aim is God realization or the knowledge of the Absolute, what are you supposed to do? You must have knowledge of the One. This One is designated in this section as the Vaishvanara. And in this connection, we are introduced into the story of the 6 great men going to Ashwapati Kaikeya for initiation into the mystery of Vaishvanara Vidya. They were all accosted, what they were meditating on, etc. In essence, what they told was that they were meditating on the 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and heaven. So 6 persons gave 6 kinds of reply. They meditated on the 5 elements and the heaven, all which process the great master Ashwapati Kaikeya pointed out to be defective for 2 reasons. This is the defect of every meditation, my meditation and your meditation, everybody's, not merely theirs. A defect which has to be carefully obviated by effort of thought and exercise of will. The mistake in these meditations of these learned men was that they considered their object of meditation as outside them. And the whole point driven into our minds by the Panchagni Vidya doctrine is that our sorrow is merely because there are things outside us. And even in your meditation, if you commit the same mistake of imagining that there are things outside and even your God or your deity is outside, then principally you are subject to the same domination by the deity or the external force, as is the case with everybody else. So one of the mistakes is that you conceive the deity as outside you, which is not a fact. The object is not disorganized in such a way as to be unconnected with you. It is organically connected with you. There is a vital relationship between the object and the subject. If the deity is completely outside, how could you have any blessing from the deity? What kind of grace can come from God if He completely transcended and unrelated to you? There must be a vital connection between the God that you meditate upon and yourself. This mistake of imagining that it is not so is an error in meditation. The other mistake was that they localized the object. One said it is earth, another said it is heaven, third said it is water, fourth said it is something else. Now, the great reality, which alone is capable of absolving you from all sin and sorrow, is not any particular thing that is here or there. A thing which is here or there is a finite. And you are finite in the same way. You are located in some place. And if your God also is going to be located in the same way as you are, that God is going to be another individual like you. Maybe more magnified physically, but that makes no difference. Anything that is finite, located in space and time, is perishable. And a perishable cause will produce only perishable result. So you cannot expect infinite blessing from a finite deity. And the deity becomes finite. The moment you conceive this God or deity, the object of your meditation, as being in some place, in Garden of Eden, or in Swargaloka, Vaikuntha, or Kailasa, or anywhere. If your God is in one place only and not in another place, that God is not going to give you salvation. So your mistake is in imagining that God is in one place and not everywhere. The other mistake is to think that the God is outside. So Ashwapati Kaikeya told these gentlemen, "My friends, all these meditations of yours are very good as far as they go, but you have committed a blunder, an essential mistake, and these are the two mistakes. The Atman whom you are seeking, whose knowledge you want, on which you want to meditate, is Vaishvanara, not a single item of reality inside the body of an individual. All pervading is the Atman. That is why it is called Vaishvanara. It is the cosmic man, Vishwasanara. There is only one man in the whole universe, and that man is called Vaishvanara. There is one person. That person is Purushottama, the Supreme Being. It is not true that there are many things in this world, not true that there are many objects or persons in this world. All these so-called individuals are comprehended in this single being called Vaishvanara. Because of the fact that this being is Vaishvanara, all comprehensive, you cannot regard it as outside. The moment it becomes outside, it cannot be everywhere. You understand the mistake. And because it is everywhere, it is the self of all. This point also you should not forget. It is a feat of imagination to think like this, that an all-comprehensive being can be the self of everyone, such that you cannot isolate this being from your own being, because it is the Atman of you. You cannot isolate it from the being of others also, because it is Vaishvanara. One who meditates like this is a blessed soul, and whatever that person thinks materializes itself, and whatever that person consumes, eats, is the food given to all beings. This is Pancha, Pranagnihotra mentioned in this section of the Upanishad. Agnihotra is a sacrifice that is performed by people. And oblations offered in sacred fires. Now this oblation need not necessarily be offered in an external fire if you have got this knowledge. The five pranas into which, or the for the satisfaction of which you consume food every day or drink water, etc. This performance of yours daily is itself a great yajna. In case you are able to conceive of your being as cosmic being, then your satisfaction is the whole universe's satisfaction. And there is nothing which can encounter you, oppose you, or face you, because nothing is there outside you. The whole universe becomes friendly in respect of this person. Such a person has no enemy. And things gravitate round this person, as planets gravitate round the sun. As in the words of the Upanishad itself, children sit round their mother for food, thinking, when will the mother bring food? Here is our sustenance. So will all beings crave for the glory, sustenance, and satisfaction of this great soul who is a meditator on the great Vaishvanara Atman. Hari Om.